and I'd like to welcome Rochelle Smith with the story of Esther Brinstein.
Thank you. So the story I'm going to tell you today is the story of Esther Brinstein, who was a Holocaust survivor. The reason I chose this particular story is because, well, first of all, it illustrates the fragility of freedom in this particular case as to how the action of one individual can make such a difference. But the other reason why I particularly chose this story is that, first of all, because I personally knew this lady when I was a little girl. She and her husband were friends of my parents. But secondly, because it has a relevance, particular relevance to Dorset, because her daughter, Lorna, actually lived for quite a long time in Weymouth, and her two grandchildren, David and Deborah, went to Wey Valley School in Weymouth and to Weymouth College. So I thought it's particularly relevant because it has that local connection. Now, Esther was born in a town in Poland called Łódź, spelled Lodge, L-O-D-Z, but they pronounce it that way in Polish, apparently. So she was about 13 or 14 when this happened. They'd been forced into the ghetto in Łódź, and at this time, it's in 1942, the SS were coming to round up all the people in the ghetto to cart them off to Auschwitz. So they so far managed to avoid all these raids, and this is what she recounts. If you want to find out more about her, by the way, if you go to the Imperial War Museum in London, they have a big section on the Holocaust, and she actually opened the exhibition when it first opened. You can see her in video there. Anyway, so very early one morning, the SS caught up with us. They arrived in trucks in front of our block of flats and immediately posted guards in every part of the courtyard. We were quite convinced that the end had come. We lived on the top floor of the building, and there was a big loft above with access through a trap door reached by a ladder. All of us, all the neighbours on that floor, decided in a flash to climb up the ladder and hide in the loft. We left the trap door open, hoping it would make it less obvious that anyone was up there. One young couple, whose gorgeous little girl of three was asleep in a wicker basket in their flat, thought it safer to leave her there rather than risk her cries if she was woken up. They piled lots of bedding and clothes in the basket and hoped that the flat would not be thoroughly searched. In dead silence, we huddled together. We heard the SS go from floor to floor, and the screams of people as they were brutally beaten and dragged out of their rooms. They were our neighbours, and we knew them all. Most of them were too ill to leave their beds. They reached the top floor, and we heard them ordering the Jewish policemen to search each room. We held our breath, praying for little Danusia, asleep in the whisker basket. Alas, in vain. We heard a big thump, something being kicked over, and Danusia's cry of, "Mummy, Mummy." Can anyone imagine what it was like for her parents and all of us in the loft not to let a sound escape our lips while Danusia was dragged away? After they had searched all the rooms, we heard the SS order a Jewish policeman to climb up the ladder and search the loft. I was pressing closely to my mother, and I remember vividly bidding silently goodbye to my mother, my brother, my young life, and all that was dear to me. The policeman climbed up, looked around, and saw us. But we heard him say as he climbed down, "No one up there." It was a chance in a million that his word would be taken, but he took that chance, risking his life. The policeman's name was Jakubowicz. It is probably thanks to his display of great courage, not an isolated case, that I am alive today and not fully shattered in my belief in man.